Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. And today is Sunday, after the Epiphany Friday. Today is the January the 8th, 2023. The feast of Angela of Foligno, the mistress of theologians. Gracious and loving God, you call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. Send the Holy Spirit to work through us, bringing your message to those we serve. Stewards of God's grace have unlimited resources to manage on behalf of Jesus Christ. Like Paul and Stephen, when full of grace, we are in a better position to allocate its riches. God gives his children grace to dispense to needy hearts. Though retired into the remote parts of a desert, St. Anthony of the Desert often experienced the fiercest attacks of the devils. They would appear to him under a thousand frightful forms. The saint laughed at their impotence, and to put them to flight, he simply contented himself with making the sign of the cross, saying to his disciples, "Believe me, Satan fears prayer and humility and the love of Jesus Christ. The mere sign of the cross suffices to banish him." St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king. Invited to sit down and parley, the pagan priest offered St. Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, St. Patrick did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison. Dumping out the poison, St. Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. With everyone watching, the pagan king was converted. And may we be so empowered by this great faith. And let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Here am I, Lord, I come to sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. Here am I, Lord, I come. The written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Here am I, Lord, I come.
The first reading. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gathered and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The responsorial psalm. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage. All nations shall serve him. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. The second reading. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel.
Became flesh and dwelt among us. To those who accepted him, he gave power to become children of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
St. Matthew, glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And one point that I will raise here, because here in the gospel it says that the wise men went to the place where the child was, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Now think about this for a second. So we know the star of Bethlehem was over Bethlehem for 6 days from December 25th for 6 days. And so when the wise men did get there, since Bethlehem was the house of David, it's interesting also, Bethlehem is also known as the house of bread. And when the wise men appeared, when they went there, they found Jesus in a house sitting on his mother's lap. Well, obviously, the following day after the Christmas story, Joseph took Mary and Christ's child to relatives. So Jesus was born in a manger, and that's where the shepherds found him. So when the wise men arrived there, they had already moved from the stable, the cave where Jesus was born. And they were in one of Joseph's relatives, which he was there because of the census. So that's just so when we see a nativity scene, a lot of times we see at the nativity scene, what you see the shepherds and the wise men. And here, it's just kind of interesting, so I just thought I wanted to present that, because you might be kind of like trying to put the two together here, as we often do when we do the nativity scene. So, but there you have that. And beautiful scripture here.
Thank you. my flesh for the life of the world. And if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. You shall live forever. And I will
I will raise you up on the last day. And that was sung at my mother's funeral. That means a lot to me. That song means a great deal to me. Saint Angela of Foligno, the Mistress of Theologians. She was sometimes called the Mistress of Theologians. Her tomb is in the Church of Saint Francis in Foligno. Many miracles have been recorded there. Born in Foligno on January 4, 1248, to a well-to-do family, she soon lost her father and received little supervision from her mother. Thus did she spend youth far from faith. Beautiful, intelligent, passionate, she married a notable local man by whom she had several children. Blessed Angela of Foligno was born in 1248, of a prominent family in Foligno, 3 leagues from Assisi. Some saints show marks of holiness very early. Saint Angela, born of a leading family in Foligno, Italy, she became immersed in the quest for wealth and so
as a wife and mother, she continued this life of destruction. She was born on 21 March 1474, a small town on the shore of Lake Gorda in Lombardy. When Angela was only 10 years old, she and her older sister became orphans. They went on to live with their uncle in Salo, where they led a quiet and devout Catholic Christian life. In her late 30s, she experienced a moral crisis. She had committed a sin so serious that she feared hell. She prayed through the intercession of St. Francis of Assisi, who had died some 60 years earlier. And he appeared to her in a dream, promising he would render her aid. Soon after, Angela met a relative who was a Franciscan friar and priest. She made a full confession, did penance for her sins, and began to embrace Franciscan spirituality. Around the age of 40, she recognized the emptiness of her life and sought God's help in the sacrament of penance. Her Franciscan confessor helped Angela to seek God's pardon for her previous life and to dedicate herself to prayer and the works of charity. Blessed Angela of Foligno was born in 1248 of a prominent family in Foligno, 3 leagues from Assisi. As a young woman and also a wife and mother, she lived only for the world and its vain pleasures. But the grace of God intended to make of her a vessel of election for the comfort and salvation of many. A ray of the divine mercy touched her soul and so strongly affected her as to bring about a conversion. And shortly after her conversion, her husband and children died. Selling most of her possessions, she entered the secular Franciscan order. She was alternately absorbed by meditating on the crucified Christ and by serving the poor in Foligno as a nurse and begged for their needs. Other women joined her in a religious community. She also entered the Third Order of St. Francis and presently found herself the superior and guide of others who followed in her path. Many women joined her, even to the point of taking the 3 vows. She encouraged them in works of charity, in nursing the sick, and in going personally from door to door to beg for the needs of the poor. Meanwhile, Angela became still more immersed in the contemplation of the Passion of Christ, and she chose the sorrowful mother and the faithful disciple John as her patrons. The sight of the wounds which her Lord suffered for her sins urged her to the practice of still greater austerities. Once our Lord showed her that his heart is a safe refuge in all the storms of life, she was soon to be in need of such a refuge. God permitted her to be afflicted with severe temptations, the most horrible and loathsome representations distressed her soul. At her confessor's advice, Angela wrote her book of visions and instructions. In it, she recalls some of the temptations she suffered after her conversion. She also expresses her thanks to God for the incarnation of Jesus. Angela's birth date, which is not known for certainty, is often listed as 1248. She was born into a wealthy family at Foligno in Umbria, married perhaps at an early age. She had several children. Angela reports that she loved the world and its pleasures. Around the age of 40, she reported had a vision of Francis of Assisi and recognized the emptiness of her life. And from that time, she began to lead a life devoted to higher perfection. And after making a pilgrimage to Rome, Angela gave away most of what she owned to the poor. Later, she went on a pilgrimage to Assisi, where she experienced the first of many visions. Her spiritual life deepened, and she became a woman of profound prayer. Eventually, her spiritual director began recording her mystical visions, and it is reported she also had received the stigmata of Christ. Enlightened by grace, Blessed Angela of Foligno wrote in this account, she says, "I realized my sinfulness. I was seized with a great fear of being damned, and I shed a flood of tears. I went to confession to be relieved of my sins, but through shame I concealed the most grievous ones. But still I went to communion. Now my conscience tortured me day and night. I called upon St. Francis for help, and moved by an inner impulse, I went into a church where a Franciscan father was preaching. It is reported that in the year 1285, she had a vision of both the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Francis of Assisi, who called her to penance. And she says, I gathered courage to confess all my sins to him. I did this immediately after the sermon. With zeal and perseverance, I performed the penance he imposed. But my heart continued to be full of bitterness and shame. I recognized that the divine mercy has saved me from hell. Since I resolved to do rigorous penance, nothing seemed too difficult for me, because I felt I belonged in hell. I called upon the saints, and especially upon the Blessed Virgin, to intercede with God for me. And she says, it appeared to me now as if they had compassion on me, and I felt the fire of divine love enkindled within me so that I could pray as I never prayed before. I had also received a special grace so to contemplate the cross on which Christ had suffered so much for my sins. Sorrow, love, and the desire to sacrifice everything for him filled my soul." About this time, God hearkened to the earnest desire of the penitent. Her mother died, and her husband, and soon afterward, all her children. These tragic events were very painful to her, but she made the sacrifice with resignation to the will of God. Being freed from these ties, she dispossessed herself of all her temporal goods with the consent of her confessor, a Franciscan friar, so that being poor herself, she might walk in the footsteps of her poor Savior. It was what she dictated. Her account of her conversion, now known as the Memorial of, or the Book of Visions and Instructions. In it, she recalls some of the temptations she suffered after her conversion. She also expresses her thanks to God for the incarnation of Jesus. This book and her life earned for Angela the title Teacher of Theologians. She was beatified in 1693 and canonized in 2013. That's really recent, isn't it? She called out to God, "Glory be to thee, O Lord. Your cross is my resting place." These painful trials lasted over 2 years. Purified and tried servant of the Lord was filled with great consolation. She obtained a marvelous insight into divine things and was very frequently found in ecstasy. For a time, she had the stigmata, and for many years, Holy Communion was her only food, until at last, completely purified, she entered into the eternal rest, the eternal joy of the Supreme Good on January 4, 1310. Blessed Angela of Foligno said, "To know oneself is to know God. That is the perfection of man. Without this knowledge, visions and the greatest gifts are of no account." Pope Innocent XII approved the continual devotion paid to her at her tomb in Foligno, where many miracles were attributed to her. He beatified her in 1693. At Christmas 1308, Angela told her companions she would die shortly. A few days later, she had a vision of Christ appearing to her and promising to come personally to take her to heaven. She died in her sleep on 3 January 1309. Angela died surrounded by her community of disciples. Her remains repose in the Church of St. Francis at Foligno. Many people attributed miracles to her, which were accomplished at her tomb. Angela died on January 3, 1309. She was beatified by Pope Clement XI on July 11, 1701. On October 9, 2013, Pope Francis declared her a saint. Her feast day is celebrated on January 4. January 7 in the United States. Her incorrupt body is preserved in a glass reliquary at the Church of St. Francis in Foligno. Numerous miracles have been reported at her tomb. She is known as the Mistress of Theologians for her writings and visions. And here are some words from Angela of Foligno. If you want faith, pray. If you want hope, pray. If you want charity, pray. If you want poverty, pray. If you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. If you want humility, pray. If you want meekness, pray. If you want fortitude, pray. If you want any virtue, pray. And pray in this fashion, always reading the Book of Life, that is, the life of the God-man Jesus Christ, whose life consisted of poverty, pain, contempt, and true obedience. God is the one who leads me and elevates me to this state. I do not go to it on my own, for by myself I would not know how to want, desire, or seek it. I am now continually in this state. Furthermore, God very often elevates me to this state with no need, even for my consent. For when I hope to expect it at least, when I am not thinking about anything, suddenly my soul is elevated by God, and I hold dominion over and comprehend the whole world. It seems then as if I am no longer on earth, but in heaven, in God. No one can be saved without divine light. Divine light causes us to begin and to make progress, and it leads us to the summit of perfection. Therefore, if you want to begin and to receive this divine light, pray. If you have begun to make progress and want this light to be intensified within you, pray. And if you have reached the summit of perfection and want to be superilluminated so as to remain in that state, pray. This embrace of God sets a blaze of fire within the soul, with which the whole soul burns for Christ. It also produces a light so great that the soul understands the fullness of God's goodness, which it experiences in itself, and which is, moreover, much greater than the soul's experience of it. The effect then of this fire within the soul is to render it certain and secure that Christ is within it. And yet, what we have said is nothing in comparison to what this experience really is. And she would say, my heart was drawn out of all worldly concerns and placed in God in such a manner that I could neither think of nor see anything except God. Whether I spoke or ate, or whatever I did, it did not prevent my heart from always being in God. And these were the words, and this was the story of St. Angela of Foligno, the mistress of theologians. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of your great saints, these great role models and examples for us. Thank you, Lord. For all these great gifts. So whatever we do, may the Lord Jesus Christ be right there with us in whatever we do. As we began, though retired into the remote parts of a desert, St. Anthony of the Desert often experienced the fiercest attacks of the devils. They would appear to him under a thousand frightful forms. The saint laughed at their impotence, and to put them to flight, simply contented himself with making the sign of the cross, saying to his disciples, believe me, Satan fears prayer and humility and the love of Jesus Christ. The mere sign of the cross suffices to banish him. St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king, invited to sit down and parley. The pagan priest offered Saint a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, Saint Patrick did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison, dumping out the poison. Saint Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. with everyone watching, the pagan king was converted. And so as we close, we do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make the Mass the center of your life, and pray the rosary. Invite Jesus and Mary into your house, as well as your heart, yes. But invite them into your home. Humble ourselves before the Lord our God. Good day.